Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Of course, I am your host, Al Martin. It is December 11th, 2020. And before I proceed, one of my closest friends who grew up with me on the west side of Detroit, on Joy Road in Granville, exit 9, stand up. my good friend Marcel Washington, his birthday is today. Shout out to you, Sal. Hope you have a great birthday, my man, the Big 3-0. Welcome to it. Okay. On today's Current Sports, there are a few things that we could tackle here. You know, I want to touch upon where we are right now in the sporting world in terms of trying to combat, trying to figure out COVID-19, because, you know, every single day we're hearing about possible postponements or cancellations, and not possible postponements or cancellations. We are seeing postponements and cancellations take place. And, you know, right here at Michigan State, you know, earlier this week, we were supposed to see Michigan State men's basketball take on Virginia. This is going to be a clash of two top 20 teams. Tom Izzo, you know, loving to play these big dogs at the beginning of the year. So he gets a chance to evaluate his team against the best. So he knows how to adjust as the year goes on if he wants to compete at that level. So Virginia was on the schedule for the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Michigan State actually made the trip and found out when they were, you know, I think they had just, you know, landed not even like 4 hours prior to, you know, hearing the news that Virginia was going to actually postpone because of COVID-19 issues. So Michigan State had to hop back on that chartered flight and head back home. And, of course, Tom Izzo was pretty livid. So I want to touch upon, you know, where we are right now in the world of college sports and sports in general today in terms of dealing with COVID-19. And I know we have a vaccine that is being pushed by our government that has already, you know, been injected into the bodies of those internationally. And, hopefully that gives us some relief and is, you know, proven over time to be safe. But until then, until the approval and until the hardcore proof that it's safe and until multiple people get it, we are still dealing with this. And we saw the deadliest day since the coronavirus impacted these United States of America. We saw our deadliest day yesterday. and you know, over like 3,000 deaths in one day. Pretty insane. I just found out, for me personally, I found out that a friend of mine, her uncle just passed away from COVID-19, and now her aunt has it. And also another friend of mine's grandmother passed away from it. So it was just really tough. It's a really tough time for a lot of different people. So many families are being impacted right now, and it's tough because, again, you know, we're looking at the end of the year, and the holidays are coming up. And, you know, when it, you know, back to the sports world, you know, I wonder, you know, what is the college basketball calendar going to look like? Should they be playing games right now? Should they just hang it up and say, you know what, let's wait a little more here, let a few weeks go by and try to get back on the saddle, because this is just too frustrating and it's really hard to pull off. Well, one of the biggest names in college basketball, he is the man who just recently lost to Tom Izzo at Cameron Indoor Stadium for his first time in his career, losing to Izzo there. But Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, the head coach of the Duke men's basketball team, Coach K weighed in on whether or not college basketball should be tipping it up and playing right now. And he had some interesting things to say there. So I'll get to that later on this hour. But first, I want to tackle, you know, what's going down tomorrow to close out the college basketball year. Your Michigan State football team will be playing the Penn State Nittany Lions on the road. And, you know, this is a game that thank goodness they have on the schedule, first of all, because, you know, I agree with Mel. I think we can all agree that it would have been a very, very long offseason if Michigan State ended the regular season this year on that Ohio State game. That Ohio State game, and I get it. Look, you know, you're playing one of the best teams in the nation in the Buckeyes. Not many people expected Michigan State to even make that thing close. If you did, you were harboring some kind of hope that, okay, maybe Michigan State, which, you know, had won two games this year that they weren't supposed to win, right, against Northwestern and Michigan, in which they were heavy underdogs and they somehow pulled it off. So maybe we can shock the world and beat Ohio State as well. Mm-mm. No, it's Ohio State. Michigan State never had a shot. So you expected to lose that game? Many people did. Many realistic Spartan fans did. I should say, because as a player, as a coach, you should never expect to lose a game. You go out there competing to win and trusting that your preparation throughout the week will carry you through. But from a fan perspective, the realistic fans out there knew that that could get out of hand, and it did. And you never want to end a year on a blowout loss. That really does make for a long, long offseason. So you've got a golden opportunity here in which you play a Penn State team that has as many wins as you. Penn State is on a bit of a win streak, if you will. You know, despite starting the year and losing to Maryland and then, you know, losing to, Nebraska and, you know, and lost to Iowa, you know, Indiana. I think the Indiana game actually is that's what started the season, right? It was like Indiana, then Ohio State, then Maryland, then Nebraska, then Iowa. But these last 2 weeks, they have beaten Michigan, which everybody has beaten, 27-17. The Wolverines do have two wins, though. Rutgers, that's the most recent win for Penn State. That was a 23-7 win last weekend. And they're riding kind of high, I should say, coming into this this Michigan State football game. And for Michigan State, though, they have just as many wins. 2-4 for Michigan State, 2-5 for Penn State. This will be a noon kickoff. They moved this kick time from 3 p.m. to noon yesterday. I want to say, I think it was the morning time in which they made that announcement. And some people were making a big deal about it. I'm like, well, who cares when they play the game? If it's 3:30 or noon, I like a noon kickoff better. You know, from a work perspective, I get out the way. And get out the way sounds so bad. I enjoy what I do. I love these games, but you know, just a noon kickoff is, I should say, more convenient for us reporters and broadcasters who are covering the games now from home, of course. But yeah, and four of the Spartans' five games kicked off, I should say, at noon this year. Four of the five games they played. So, and both schools agreed to the move from 3:30 specifically to noon. They both agreed on the move based on the cancellation. Again, cancellations happening left and right. Based on the cancellation of the Oklahoma West Virginia game that was previously set for noon on ABC. So that's why they moved it. But I don't know why people are, you know, I think that the later the game, the bigger the game. That's the perception that television has at least created. But, you know, as we've seen this year, no, it's not the case. You know, a game could be at noon or 3:30 or at night. And, you know, we're seeing big games at different time slots because of COVID reasons. So, again, Penn State 2-5 coming off consecutive wins, including at Michigan, after losing its first five. Michigan State at 2-4 have won five of the last seven games in the series. I have to remind that to a lot of different people out there. You know, I know that the Mark D'Antonio era was not great on the back nine. Not great. But, you know, that front nine and maybe the beginning of the back nine was pretty good. Pretty good. So Michigan State, they have won five of the last seven games in the series, including a 21-17 win at Beaver Stadium just 2 years ago. The Nittany Lions, they won last year in East Lansing 28-7. Again, that was the final year for Mark D'Antonio, and we pretty knew the writing was on the wall. And look, I got to say this too. You know, if you are, you know, James Franklin and Penn State, I mean, Penn State has tremendously underperformed in recent years. And especially this year, James Franklin has not lived up to expectations. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, it's inexcusable. You know, Penn State has these high expectations of competing for national championships, of trying to make a college football playoff, just like in Ann Arbor. There is a rich tradition there. And when you fall short of that, you are going to get rightfully criticized. So, you know, Penn State was supposed to be, you know, one of those teams that you looked at and said, okay, Penn State has a really good chance here of doing something special. But it was just a completely stunning 0-4 start in the middle of a pandemic. And again, I think a lot of these coaches get a little bit of a pass, with the exception of Jim Harbaugh, because he's been given so many passes throughout his Michigan coaching career. But I think a lot of these coaches do get a pass because of how wild this year has been. I mean, it was the worst start after four games since, you know, like in 19 years, since 2001. And, you know, Franklin, if you listen to him every single week, you know, prior to these last 2 weeks, he's been trying to just stay positive and get his team to not test positive. And they had a few positive cases, just like every team has. But hey, it's, you know, when you're coaching at Penn State, they don't want to hear that stuff. Fans don't want to hear that stuff. So they will be incredibly motivated to close out the year as well with a win, just like Michigan State is trying to do. So with that being said, you know, again, Penn State underperforming at 2-4. I think Mel Tucker has overperformed with his 2-win season so far. You know, he just has. You know, excuse me, Penn State at 2-5. He just has. I mean, you look at, you know, the two wins that Michigan State got. Nobody expected them to win those two games. And again, you know, you could bring up the Rutgers game and say, well, they should have beat Rutgers of all teams. But as we've seen, Rutgers is a pretty solid team this year in the Big Ten, and they've got a lot of talent over there. So, you know, how do you evaluate this game? Well, first off, the quarterback position for Michigan State. That is like the number one topic, right, heading into this game. Should it be Rocky Lombardi, like we've seen throughout this season, or does Mel Tucker finally make a change? Look over to Peyton Thorne specifically, because Peyton Thorne was the guy that came in and showed that, you know, he could move the offense a bit. He could find some receivers. He could put the ball on the ground and pick up a few yards with his feet. He was a much more accurate passer than Rocky Lombardi was when he was in against Ohio State. But then you look at, you know, it's kind of you're kind of confused, because you look at the wins that Michigan State has had, those improbable victories, and Rocky Lombardi has had solid games. And there have been numerous games in which Rocky Lombardi has gone out there and thrown for a lot of yards, done some nice things, but Michigan State came up short. But, you know, he was forced out of that Ohio State game. He was forced out. And that's the thing. We don't know just how healthy he is. He was injured on a sack, and that's when the freshman in Thorne entered the game in his place. 16 of 25, 147, had a pick, no touchdown passes. But he did contribute 42 rush yards and a score. I told you, he made things happen with his legs as well. Had a really nice 31-yard gain, excuse me. So, you know, at this stage of the season, you know, we may see Michigan State give the nod to Thorne. Either way, if Rocky Lombardi is healthy, they may just say, look, man, we just want to see how Peyton handles a start. Just to see if he is that guy next season for us. Lombardi has proven to be a not so effective quarterback in the Big Ten. So, and also throwing in Thorne, you know, maybe James Franklin is prepping for this game and assuming that, okay, Rocky Lombardi has had some time to heal now. He's had a week to heal. Let's prepare for him. Yeah, we saw Peyton Thorne late in that game, but Rocky Lombardi has been their guy. If you throw in Thorne, maybe he could pose more of a challenge with also not a lot of available tape to study on Thorne. So we'll see. Now, Jalen Naylor, love that speedy receiver who could challenge the Nittany Lions secondary. that has struggled to defend the deep ball this year. Naylor is averaging, check this, 20.8 yards per catch. When he has gotten the ball, he has done some damage. 20.8 yards per catch. He played a major role in the upset of against Northwestern. If you remember, he had three catches for 1 yard shy of 100 yards and a score. Jaden Reed is also a player I want to bring up. He has seen his role gradually increase during his sophomore campaign, and now he leads the team in receptions with 27. He's coming off a five-catch, 79-yard performance against Ohio State. One of the best stories coming out of East Lansing also is that of Tyler Hunt, a punter who has now moved to tight end during the offseason. And he's now fifth on the team in receptions. Isn't that incredible? You know, Mel Tucker, you know, we rolled in the Mel Tucker press conference earlier this week for you all. And Mel Tucker was asked about Tyler Hunt and his work ethic and how, you know, he comes in with that blue collar hard hat mentality and works his tail off, which has now given him this opportunity to be a big piece to this Michigan State offense. So Michigan State has had some really nice playmaking from great playmakers this season. Pleasant surprises, I should say. But they have struggled to get the ground game going. Averaging 100 yards of rushing, under 100 yards of rushing per game. Connor Hayward, the primary back. He has had between, 10 to 28 rush yards in 5 of 6 games. And the outlier being that 96-yard performance on 24 carries against NU, Northwestern. So I want to see, I want to see Michigan State get pushed from that offensive line and get that run game going. And, looking at the Penn State offense, because I really like, this is one thing I said about the Ohio State game earlier this week, if you remember, and anybody could see this, when you watched Michigan State get just trounced upon by Ohio State. That Michigan State offense was so bad that they didn't give any relief for that Michigan State defense. I mean, look, if you're constantly going 3 and out, your defense has no time to rest, catch a breather, drink some Gatorade, recuperate just a little bit, going against one of the best offenses in the nation. If you're constantly going 3 and out and you're constantly putting that defense out there, eventually they are going to get tired and worn out, and it is going to make for a very, very bad recipe. And that's exactly what happened. Michigan State's defense got so worn out, and goodness, Justin Fields and that Ohio State offense just rolled. I love linebacker Antoine Simmons. He's the leader of that Michigan State defense. Right now, you look at his stats. I mean, he tops the team with 65 tackles. And when you look at it, to put it in perspective, again, Antoine Simmons has 65 tackles on the year. That's 20 more. 20 more, folks, than anyone else on the team. How incredible is that? I mean, this dude has a high motor. He's so smart. I love watching Antoine Simmons play football, man. He also has 2 fumble recoveries. He has 8.5 tackles for loss, including 2 apiece in the last 2 games. Beast. Beast. And also, give a shout out to defensive end Drew Beasley. You know, he can make plays in the backfield as well. He's got, what, 3 sacks, 5.5 tackles for loss this season. Also tied for the team lead in quarterback hurries. So, you know, Will Levi, he should receive plenty of snaps as well. James Franklin seems set on a two-quarterback system for the time being. You know, Sean Clifford is probably going to be the guy, but Will Levi will probably see some action as well. And we'll see if and also Shakur Brown. You know, shout out to Shakur Brown. He has played amazing. He's been flying over the field, all over the field this season, and is able to get some interceptions in his pocket as well. But, you know, the key to any football game, one of the keys to any football game, as we all know, is the battle in the trenches. Can you get pressure on the quarterback, causing him to make errant throws, causing him to get off his spot, make sporadic decisions that could possibly lead to turnovers? And that is the key. Michigan State has to get pressure on the quarterback. And I think they've played, I tell you what, this Michigan State defense, the MSU defense has played beyond my expectations, your expectations, the expectations of Spartan Nation. They have been a pleasant surprise, I'll say that. But again, I think we could run into the same problem that we saw against Ohio State in this game. The fact that the Michigan State offense right now has so many question marks and has so much inconsistency that how can you trust them after a good defensive stalling of the Penn State offense? How can you trust the Michigan State offense to go out there after great defensive stops and score points? Or at least have long, long drives. I'll even settle for a long drive that stalls in the end zone and forces Michigan State kicker Matt Coughlin to come out and punt it through the big H for 3. I'll even settle for that. If you can just give any kind of relief for that Michigan State defense. And speaking of special teams, speaking of Matt Coughlin, you know, he is now in his fourth year as starter. He's 8 of 11 on the year, with all 3 of his misses coming in the, like, 40 to 49-yard range. And he nailed his lone attempt of a 50-yard field goal. You know, he had a 51-yarder to help Michigan State upset Michigan in week 2. But he's been a little bit up and down. Also, the Spartans have a future NFL punter. Booming leg and Bryce Behringer. He's been great. The junior is averaging, 43.5 yards per punt? Has a punt of 51 yards or more in 5 of 6 games. His season long is a 78-yard blast. Yeah. Soak that in, right? 78-yard blast against Michigan. So, again, Michigan State has done pretty well. If, you know, when that offense stalls and you punt the ball, you can trust Bryce Behringer, but then the opposition is going for these long drives for touchdowns. That can't happen. So, I say all that to say this. You know, a bit of a preview there, a few things I'll be looking for in this game. I do think that Peyton Thorne is going to get the start. I just get a gut reaction that Mel Tucker, you know, listening to him, he wants to challenge his guys. He's all about that. He wants to put guys in positions that are uncomfortable for them, maybe uncomfortable for them, and wants to see if they can find comfort in the uncomfort. So I think that, you know, it's fitting. It would be fitting at the, you know, end of the year, the final game of the season, knowing that Rocky Lombardi did get banged up, so you got an excuse not to start him. And you want to see Peyton, who did some nice things against Ohio State last week. You want to see more of him. Why not throw him in the fire right now, final game of the regular season, and see if he can handle it. Or somewhat handle it. So you have a better evaluation of what to do at the QB position come next year. Peyton Thorne, I think, should be the starter tomorrow afternoon. At the end of the day, though, I still don't trust the offense. Too many inconsistencies. Not enough balance. Too many three and outs. Penn State riding high and trying to carry that momentum into the end of the year. I am going Penn State to win this game. Penn State right now is just a better football team, despite how tough this season has been for them. I think Penn State wins 31-17. Penn State 31, Michigan State 17. I feel confident that Penn State is poised for this victory. Just Michigan State just too inconsistent. Too inconsistent. So that's where I'm going with it. I want to know your thoughts on the game. And do you think Peyton Thorne should be the starter? Do you believe that Peyton is the guy? And has Michigan State performed above your expectations? I think they have. I mean, I was pretty wild in saying that, oh, yeah, Michigan State can win at least five games this year. I mean, I was just speaking more so from my heart, not my head. All right, let me come to the front of the congregation right now. I was speaking more so from my heart, not my head. I mean, you guys heard me say that, you know, the reason why I said that, it's a COVID year. Anything can happen. We've seen some weird things happen throughout the sporting world in the year that is COVID. So why not? Yeah, Michigan State will win five games. Right? But I think already, man, Michigan State football, I think this program is trending upward. I think Mel Tucker is the right guy for the job. Listening to him week in and week out during his press conferences, this is a dude who knows what he wants, who knows what kind of program he's going to implement in order to get what he wants. And when you hear players talk about him, when you hear Michigan State players talk about Mel Tucker, they are excited, amped up, and they do not hide the fact that Mel Tucker will challenge you. He will hold you accountable. That's the kind of coach you want leading your program. And he already, again, the upset victories that he got over Michigan. I mean, he comes in. First got to do this since Nick Saban. Comes in the door first year and beats Michigan on the road at the Big House. What? I mean, if you didn't win another game the whole year, take the Northwestern win away. You've already outperformed, or I should say overperformed, beyond expectations. So shout out to Mel, man. I think that that he's the right guy for the job. And I do want to address this. You know, I've been talking about throughout this week the whole situation with Michigan and Ohio State. We will not see Michigan and Ohio State play against each other come this weekend. First time in, what, more than 100 years that these two rivals will not play, and that's due to a COVID-19 outbreak at the University of Michigan college football program. So the Big Ten, which we expect this to happen, right? The Big Ten modified the rule and with that rule change, the Big Ten allows Ohio State to play in the conference title game. Ohio State will indeed play for the Big Ten championship after all. And, you know, I said that, okay, why can't you just let Indiana be the representative? You know, they've met the six-game minimum. They've stayed as healthy as you could possibly stay in the year that is COVID. Why not let them play for it? Who cares about the Big Ten championship game? Because the committee would look upon Ohio State, despite its circumstances of only having five games, and say, look, I don't care what you say about a six-game minimum or not even playing in a Big Ten championship game. That is one of the four best teams in the nation. But the Big Ten said, for conference sake, that, look, you know, I think you can't ignore that Ohio State is the best team in this conference. We want to see them in that game. It will generate more eyeballs, more money, more advertisers. Cha-ching, you see where I'm going here? Sorry, Indiana. Nice year, but Ohio State gets in. Big Ten athletic directors, they met virtually on Wednesday morning to discuss the change and then made the change. So, in a statement, the Big Ten said it was voting, quote, to eliminate the minimum game requirement for participation. The statement added that the decision was made in collaboration with the Big Ten Council of Presidents and Chancellors and the conference office. The statement went on to read, quote, the decision was based on a competitive analysis which determined that Ohio State would have advanced. That Ohio State, basically saying this, that Ohio State would have played Michigan and absolutely mollywopped Michigan and booked that ticket to Indianapolis. Yeah. In Ohio State, I mean, look, they had three games canceled because of COVID-19 cases. If you remember November 14th at Maryland, that was due to a spike in virus cases among the Terps. November 28th at Illinois, when Ohio State itself had a rash of positive cases, and then this week's game against Michigan because of at least 40 cases. That's what was reported, of at least 40 cases tied to the maize and blue. So again, this is the first time. It's going to be a weird weekend knowing that you'll be sitting on your couch watching college football, and for the first time since, what, like 1917? First time since 1917. That we have not seen Ohio State and Michigan go at it in a normal college football year. But if 2020 has taught us anything, it just taught us that this is not a year of normality. Quite the opposite, right? And the Buckeyes already defeated second place Indiana 42-35. So you kind of get the thinking here, but you know, I said that, look, man, if Indiana did everything right, which they did, and they got that minimum, then why not throw them in the game? It means nothing in the grand scheme of things if you are talking about the college football playoff. So, I don't know. There's also been rumors that the Big Ten would adjust its weekend schedule to allow Ohio State to, you know, to play that sixth game. But, you know, it's just too late. It was just too late in the week for that switch to be made. So this was a move that was expected. I don't think it's a move that should surprise, that should have surprised a lot of different people. You know, I saw the news flash up on the television screen, you know, when I was at the barber shop earlier this week. And, you know, my barber, Mel, and I, we're just kind of looking at each other like, yeah, what do you expect? Yeah, we knew that was probably coming. So, yeah. All right. Also, just a few stories I want to touch upon before I hit this first break and come back. You know, last night in Thursday Night Football, Ooh, that was surprising, right? That was a bit surprising. It was a 24-3 win in favor of the Los Angeles Rams over Bill Belichick and Cam Newton's New England Patriots squad. So the Pats, they fought a 6-7 on the year. The Rams are 9-4 on the year. This Sunday, you've got the Lions playing host to the Green Bay Packers. That's right. Your 5-7 Lions. Can they beat Aaron and company? And the Lions coming off that wild fourth quarter come from behind victory against the Chicago Bears 34-30 this past weekend. The Lions, you know, they technically are still in the playoff race, but, man, you look at things, that's a tough schedule to end the year. I mean, you play a really good football team in the Packers this Sunday. You play a solid, solid Tennessee Titans team, even though they are showing a few kinks in the armor right now. But the Tennessee Titans have had a great year. You play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, being led by the GOAT and Tom Brady. They've had a solid year. And you finish up the season against Minnesota, a beatable team. Beatable team in Minnesota. But Packers, Titans, Vikings? It's going to be real tough. And also, Michigan State basketball is in action this weekend against Oakland. I'm going to touch upon them in just a moment here, just briefly. And also the Michigan State women's basketball team, want to give them a big shout out because they are 3-0 on the year. They got a win on Wednesday, an 81-68 victory over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. You know, shout out to Nia Clouden. She had 25 points in that game. She is so fun to watch. Eliza Winston also chipped in 20. And Tori Eismet with 10. Julia Arald had 10 as well. Michigan State women's basketball off to a great start. And again, the men's basketball team, after that cancellation against Virginia earlier this week, they are in action this Sunday at home, a 12 p.m. tip time Sunday against Greg Campy and company. So you got Michigan State football at noon on Saturday, Michigan State basketball at noon on Sunday. That's awesome, right? All right, let's hit our first break when we come back. Yeah, that's our first break very well into the show. So this will be a very brief segment B and a very brief segment C, all right? But when we come back, I'll touch upon college basketball and trying to get these games in during the pandemic. Is it feasible or not? You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Michigan State men's basketball, they tried to get in that game against Virginia thinking that everything was smooth. Actually, even getting on a plane down in Virginia. And next thing you know, I mean, you know, the team gets to the hotel. No, they leave the Capital Region International Airport in Lansing. It was just a 1 hour, 1 minute flight to the Charlottesville Airport in Virginia. They spent about 4 hours in the hotel, and then around like 11:30 that night, Tuesday night, that's when Michigan State was notified. That's when Izzo was notified that the ACC Big Ten Challenge game had been canceled against Virginia. So the official release postponed. So we don't really know if that game is going to be made up at a later date. But Michigan State, number 4 Michigan State, didn't get a chance to play number 18 Virginia. Really was really looking forward to that game. But, you know, for those that get upset that this happened, and that game got canceled, and that, you know, Michigan State hopped on the flight and didn't get notified. I mean, look, man, anything can happen in the year of COVID. These things are going to happen. Positive test, you know, they happen. It's just really hard. There is no foolproof playbook here. You know, and this happened on Tuesday, the day before the game. You know, if anything, I don't know, maybe you travel in day of, but that's a rigorous day of schedule. And you're traveling to Virginia to play that game. Coach K is weighed in, man. I mean, we've seen a lot of postponements in college basketball this year. And that's the thing, man. When you talk about college basketball, you know, a lot of people were comparing this like, oh, well, the NBA, we're able to have a season. Why can't college basketball then? Well, when it comes to college basketball, you are dealing with a much larger population of teams, folks. So many college basketball programs out there. So many of them traveling. And, oh, yeah, by the way, throw in the fact that they are college students. And if you watch the news lately, there aren't a lot of college students out there who have been taking this whole social distancing thing pretty serious. So Coach K told reporters earlier this week, quote, "I don't think it feels right to anybody. I mean, everyone is concerned. I'm not sure who leads college basketball for the good of the game and the safety, the mental and physical health of our players and staff and whatever. We need to constantly look at this thing. And I think it's a smart thing to do. I know the NCAA is worried about the in-game. They're not as worried about the game we're playing right now." End quote. Coach K leaning, you read into those comments, leaning toward basically saying, why are we playing right now? Makes no sense. Numbers are everywhere. Unpredictability in terms of playing these games is everywhere, every which way. Should we be playing college basketball right now? That's the big debate. You play many more games in college basketball than you do in college football. It's a little bit different. And even with that being said, I mean, how many outbreaks have we seen in college football, right? Again, I just spent like 10 minutes on the cancellation of Michigan and Ohio State. And it's not like the NBA, folks, in college basketball where you can put these guys in a bubble. It just can't happen. So I question it myself. Everybody's questioning it. And I would not be surprised if there was a brief pause in college hoops. I'll just say that. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a brief bow on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back. I'll take you on home. Also, I didn't give a prediction on the Lions playing the Packers. The Lions, I don't think they're going to win. Right, come on, man. It's the Lions. Yeah, they're coming off an improbable victory against the Bears, but the buck stops here. Too tough of a schedule to close out the year. They won't make the playoffs, but, you know, it's still encouraging that Matty Patty and Bob Quinn, the failed experiment, Patriots 2.0, they're both out the door. All right. And I have to note this. You guys know I'm a huge NBA fan. And the Detroit Pistons do play tonight. Preseason action, the first of three preseason games before the regular season will begin. Well, excuse me, the first of four preseason games before the regular season will begin on the 23rd for my Pistons. They take on the Knicks tonight at 7 p.m. if you care. I'll be watching at least. But all right, folks, we're out of time. We'll see you same time, same place, come the Monday edition of the show. Please have a wonderful weekend. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.